dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Bruce Knox.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome once again to the SVC Sports Talk. This is show 141, if you're keeping track, brought to you by, as always, Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe. I'm Bruce Knox of DBK Media Services, and along with the soothsayer of SVC Sports Zone, is Shane Combs, will be bringing you tonight's show. Shane, welcome in for another exciting show.
Hey, appreciate it. Really looking forward to it. I know last week we kind of did some double dipping. Went one show, 139, I believe it was the right. Boys show, and then 140 on the girls' side. And obviously, if fans through the holiday break didn't get a chance to go and listen to those, I'd really encourage them to do so. It really a nice way to get started. Then I get out and chance to see some real games, if you will, or games that count. On the boys' side, I know you start to see some observations. You had a lot of kids hurt in the preseason, still a little banged up, but more kids putting the uniform on, and that kind of gives you a better idea of some of the predictions that maybe need to be tweaked a little bit. Then on the girls' side, on the non-league action, you just see some differences in scheduling and so forth. So really what's going to happen, Bruce, this week, you'll hear me talk about it this evening. We get in the league play this week on both the boys and girls side, and that's when it, you start to learn more. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to a great show and then a great week of basketball.
Well, this episode, as always, is brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe. It's a great place for people of all ages. So your next party or group event, you can give them a call at 740-773-PLAY. That's 7529. You can also look them up on the web. They're located at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com, and that's all one word. Just give them a good look there on the website. It's more information there than we can ever cover. Just lots to do out there. So, and including food, which Shane's very familiar with the assets out there food-wise, aren't you, Shane?
Yes, I've been known to eat a little. In fact, Coach Coker out of Zay Trace and the fine people that always take care of me out there, they thought something was wrong with me when I didn't come visit the hospitality room this past week. But as I got out there and watched two or three games, I got to talking basketball a little bit with people, if you could believe that.
Well, there's only one thing better than food in Shane Combs' life, and that is sports. I think.
Well, you're probably correct there, but yeah, they were asking me, and they were messing with me a little bit the next day, asking that we thought something was wrong with you when we didn't see you visit the hospitality room once. But again, I always appreciate the way Zane Trace takes care of me out there, getting me in the resources I need, and makes it a lot easier to do this type of thing on SVC Sports Talk.
And I think you should also speak with your brother about the hospitality type fair over at Vinton County if you get a chance to do that.
Yeah.
Well, you spoke earlier of last week's preview shows. I'm sure we've got some feedback. We've seen some things. We've heard some things. What have people been saying about last week's shows?
I think some of the differences from the boys and girls we'll get into throughout the show. Mm-hmm. I think maybe some of the things that have really started to amaze me is how we've talked a lot about the Little League discussion and how we're going to do different things throughout the basketball season with that. We have different audio. Actually, we're going to hear one a little bit later on here. I think the thing that amazes me is on the boys and girls side, when I talk junior high numbers with people, there's been some concerns there. The freshmen on the boys side, even as we get into the JV on the girls side, we'll talk talent. We'll talk different things that impact the varsity game, not just now, but in the next 3 years, the next 5 years, the next 7 years. And one of the big topics that I guess showed up more on the boys' side that a lot of girls fans kind of were crossed over listening to, were bringing to my attention, was we talked a lot about post play. And we talked about how you're going to see a lot of four and even sometimes five guard sets with the lack of post play. And I had a couple people tie that back to some of the little league and some of the junior high and some of the philosophies it comes to teaching a young kid that has some size, or, you know, obviously in our small communities, we know the families really well. And I'm sure you hear it all the time, say at Vinton County, Bruce, well, so-and-so's, you know, family has a lot of size in it. Grandpa's really tall, or this type of thing. And what happens is you start to wonder, out of some of these kids with great size that are walking down the hallways in all these schools, why doesn't that kid play basketball? Or, hey, she has nice size. I wonder why she never got introduced. And yeah, we've had some post kids in this first weekend play well. Swingle at Paint Valley had the 26 points, 15 rebound performance. Hosley was terrific in Uniota's blowout win. But I just thought it was interesting to link back to our little league discussion in terms of development of size. So I thought back to last week, some of the audio I was collecting, and I guess, you know, my first reaction was, Bruce, let's put together a little league show at some point. But the more I'm having these discussions, I think it's just maybe a great way to incorporate the little league into the show every now and then when the right time comes about. And I think that's what's happened here. A name SVC people are going to be very well aware of is Lou Postage. Mm-hmm. Lou was the SVC co-coach of the year in 2006. When his Edina Warriors won the title at 12-2, he has a long resume of coaching. And what I love about his look at it is he spent some time in some of the really big schools. And then he's come down here to the Ross County area with his family. And he has great knowledge of the small school as well. So he's bringing knowledge as a coach, as a parent, just as an educator. And that experience of coaching really gives us a great perspective. But before I say too much more, Bruce, do you have that audio from last week we could run?
Sure do.
With any program, I think Little League basketball is a valuable asset. I think it has its place, but it has to be done the right way. I think when you start choosing teams and elite players at a young age, it can hinder your program. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some elite players at that young age, and there's places for them that they can be playing. But I think for a program, you want to get as many kids involved as possible. You want to keep those kids having fun, whether it's be in an atmosphere where you're playing game type things at practice or even in games. You know, I had gone down and did some work with low kids, and I just sub them in five at a time. You want to keep them all involved as much as possible. And as I was coaching, I never once wanted my kids or coaches to say, hey, we want to win league titles down here. We just want as many kids as possible playing, because you never know when a kid's going to grow, especially when you got big kids. And I think in the state of our game right now, there's not very many big kids that have developed. And I think that goes to little league, to where, hey, a kid's big, awkward, he can't do anything. Well, you know what? You better start working with him, because those kids can end up being 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", and they're going to help you down in the long run. I think you look at our league this year at varsity level, not a lot of big guys. But yet I see a lot of big guys walking around town and stuff like that. So my question is, how come these kids still aren't wanting to play basketball? So I think that's very important. Get as many kids involved as possible. Now, you know, I like the idea of kids winning at that age. They love to win, and that's great. But again, never emphasize it. Just make sure you can get as many kids involved as possible.
Certainly appreciate Coach Postage. Obviously, Lou works with some of the Edina program. He's involved with WKKJ and over on 1490 with some of their Cavalier coverage, and just does a super job, just pretty much in whatever he puts his hands on. And when it comes to working with basketball, working with media, working just with young people, does a super job. And so I appreciate his time. And I just thought, two things that jumped out at me, Bruce, that really make a lot of sense to me. One comes from this number discussion that I just had with multiple people up at Zane Trace over the weekend, both on the boys and girls side, how a little bit of what we're doing in the Little League. I had a grandparent talk to me about going to watch their grandson play here recently in a Little League game, and they're like, coach doesn't really want to cut anybody, so they have 13, 14 kids on the roster. They had like 12 with two alternates. And it was almost like they were frustrated with the play type. Okay, there's part of me that gets that, but there's part of me that thinks, well, that's right there the issue with the Little League being the travel team. It's one of those things where if you're just going to handpick 7 or 8 kids and go out and start playing and start trying to make sure you develop those 6 or 7 kids, that's a recipe for disaster because, I mean, you have no idea who's going to grow to what size, what families are going to move away. Is that kid going to be a good student? There's all sorts of factors that you just can't predict. So the numbers getting involved, when you think back to Coach Hoops, obviously Uniota with the big school, he was talking how they're getting all these kids involved. They can still pull it off. But mark my words, the small school is getting killed by the travel teams in terms of numbers. You're starting to see it at the freshman level. You're even starting to see it in the junior high level. So what's happening is you got a lot of these kids turned off to the game of basketball, and I thought his second comment talking about the post development, and I think it, and I don't want to speak for him, but as I was listening to him, I guess the thing that I was seeing, imagine a tryout in the 4th or 5th grade. Mm-hmm. If you have a young man, this may not be as true with a young lady, but if you have a young man who has great size at that age, there's a good chance, as we like to say in basketball, he probably can't walk and chew gum at the same time, right? He can't tie the shoe or whatever analogy you want to use at the same time. He's one of those kids that his development's going to come on down the line. And you see it all the time. You see a kid start to develop 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, and then all of a sudden, here's this kid as a sophomore. If he's been taught properly, just kind of blossoms onto the scene, and here we go. But I think, as Coach Postage is saying, we are losing out on those particular things because maybe that kid's not helping us win in the 5th grade. So if we're going to start handpicking the top 8, 9, 10 kids, maybe that's a kid that if he does make the team, I probably can't get him in the game as much as maybe this top 6 or 7 sitting over here. So just addition to the show, if you will. Yeah, I want to go beyond just our head coaches and really look at people who are involved in our community, the game of basketball from the past and present and all aspects that someone like a Lou Postage is. So really appreciate that. I thought it really added to the show.
Yeah, I have personal experience from, granted, this was 40 years ago or so, but we had a kid that when I was in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade that was big. And he, you know, he was it. If you were into winning, we had the kid to do that with because you could just throw the ball in and he would stand there in the lane and throw it up. But that kid, you know, once he got to 7th or 8th grade, he was done growing and he was then passed. And I don't think he ended up playing varsity ball. So you got both sides of the street, it seems like. You can go either way. So.
Well, you can certainly see that on the boys' side. That's an awesome point that you make because you'll see it all the time. If I see a really good junior high team, mm-hmm. especially on the boys' side, again, yeah. This is probably more with the boys because, you know, again, your young ladies, by the time they're 7th, 8th, 9th grade, they're kind of ready to go athletically, maybe on a more impact level. Mm-hmm. But if you ever watch a really good junior high team, make sure you watch and ask yourself, are they good because they're bigger, faster, and stronger right now, or are they good because they can really play the game? And that's kind of what you're talking about there. That's a really good point.
Exactly. We used to win, just throw it in, and he'd throw it up. So, all right, Shane. Well, I know that wasn't the only feedback we had for last week's show, and we'll talk next points and how hard they are to find in games early this season. Welcome back in to show 141. Hard to believe, but it's our 5th season, Shane. We've been doing this for ever, it seems like. But
a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, if we could just figure out how to get people to listen to us, that'd be a great thing. Now, really, hey, we did have a fan email. I guess this was a fan at a girls' game that talked with Shane, and they said they were talking about how girls' teams are having trouble scoring. And the question that was posed here, if I get this right, is it fair or unfair to say Westfall and Southeastern are the favorites in this year's league simply based on the ability for these two teams to score?
Well, first of all, Bruce, I think what's cool about our listeners is you can tell some of the people as they send these who's listened to the show more than others.
Yeah.
We've kind of had a history of doing some fair, unfair on the website. So anytime I see an email come in with the wording like that, that kind of clues you in right away that, hey, we have a pretty loyal listener here that kind of knows the show pretty well. This is a great question because this is something that I think is probably fair is where I would go with this. You know, every coach is going to say that defense is important. Let's not kid ourselves. But at the same time, I see teams simply having trouble scoring the basketball. We've been talking so much of the volleyball to basketball comparison. I found myself here lately trying to work on collecting some data for that. You know, here's a great one. In volleyball, if you can just get your opponent to mess up, that results in points.
Yeah.
Or if you mess up, it results in points for them. That's not always the case in basketball. You'd like to think it does, but you know, it's not enough just to steal a pass and be out in the open court. You then have to convert it and get the ball to go through the hoop. Yeah. It's a situation where, particularly on the girls' side, this is a factor. So what happens is tempo, foul trouble, free throw shooting, all of these different factors go into play. No matter how good your defense is, it's simply a numbers game. It seems to be right around, you know, when the game starts to get into the 45 to 50 range. If you look back at last year's Adena Sports Medicine stats, which we'll start here this year again here in a few weeks, appreciate their ongoing support. But if you look back at team averages, 45 to 50 maybe on the girls' side. I might up that to 55 or 60 on the boys' side, but that might even be generous. That might be too high. What I mean by those numbers is once certain teams get to that point, the data shows that they're about done scoring. So it's one of those things that no matter how good your defense is, it just ends up putting so much pressure on your defense that if you can't score at those particular totals that I'm giving, you're going to have a hard time beating the elite teams. Now, there'll be a lot of teams on your schedule that, yeah, you might be able to find a way in girls basketball to win 38-36, or in boys basketball, maybe a more realistic example might be a 50-47 type of game.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, it is. It's a situation of sometimes what happens with Southeastern and Westfall on the girls' side is they do simply outscore you. I guess I've seen certain games, and I've already had some games this week, this particular season come to mind just in the early going. I'll watch a team, and I'll feel like, man, that team is absolutely dominated. And I'll look up with 5 minutes to go in a game, and it's an 8 to 10 point game.
Yeah.
And it's you're a three pointer, you're a three ball or two going down, and all of a sudden you're in a dogfight. And I'll ask myself, well, why? Well, the bottom line of it is, well, they've out rebounded them, they've defended well, they've played well, they haven't scored. It's just a situation where they haven't put the other team away. And I look back to last year, when you look at a Skeens and a Wheeler at Southeastern, they averaged 36 points a game together, just those two. On the Westfall side, Robinson, Stone Rock, Mathis, I don't have that in front of me. I want to say it was 33 a game. Now, here's the only thing, and I mentioned this last week in the girls' preview show that I would at least throw out there at this particular email. Don't underestimate, and I said this, I know for sure on the girls' show last week, don't underestimate the loss of Fox at Westfall and then Goble at Southeastern. They both averaged right around 9 or 10 a game. That extra score is really, really important. And them getting someone to step up into those roles will be a big factor. But I tell you, these other schools, that second or third score, yeah, you might have a kid that can kind of somewhat offset Skeens. I mean, she's obviously an incredible talent. But what I mean by offset is if she gets her 25, you might have a score that could get 18 or 19. But then how are you matching the second and third and fourth scores on a team like Westfall where they just come at you in so many different ways? So, yeah, on the girls' side, I think that's extremely fair. The boys' side, maybe not as much, but I'll tell you, I think as you get into the bottom half of the league, it even applies there as well. Sure.
Is it something that's new? Or is this due to the popularity of volleyball? Or, I mean, could that be a reason? Or is it just we're not spending enough time practicing shooting or what?
Well, I certainly think that that's a factor, because on the girls' side, the impact comes from, it's not always your best player. The impact comes from, do you have a third, fourth, fifth kid that can score the basketball? And maybe it's not even scoring. It might just be the ability to put the ball on the floor and create something with the dribble or whatever it is. For whatever reason, you do see a little bit more depth, even on your bottom half teams and boys. You definitely see some kids that are a little bit more capable. But I would say overall in boys and girls, just the ability, the pure shooter term, it just isn't there as much anymore. I think we lack some just pure shooting throughout our area. So, yeah, sure, that could definitely go into volleyball, football, whatever else they're doing, because, you know, go back to what you learn about becoming a great shooter. How do you become a great shooter? Well, you go out and you shoot the basketball a lot. So it sure, I think time situations and the effort put into it certainly can impact that.
More feedback from I guess this was an email that came in, and you can reach us through email at admin1@svcsportzone.com, and Shane looks at that email address or that email box quite frequently, so you can catch him there. This one's addressed directly to you, Shane. It says, Coach Combs, first wanted to say congrats on another great spring with your baseball team, but I look forward to seeing you back on the boys basketball sideline in the near future, a reference to your assistantship there at Huntington. As for my question, I hear a big contradiction this time of year. Coaches will say the defenses are way ahead of the offenses, but then coaches will say we will not be able to do what we want to do defensively until later in the year. Hope you can clarify this. Thanks.
Well, first of all, there on the opening part, I certainly appreciate that. Love what I do with my baseball program there at Paint Valley. Means a lot to me. Certainly have a great group of kids right now, a great group of parents that have put a lot of time and effort into it. And having the back-to-back regional appearances is something that's very special to us. We're very proud of. So I appreciate that. And, you know, basketball is obviously an incredible love of mine as well. Try to get involved any way I can. Obviously, as time goes on, different family situations and things, I'll certainly be out and about doing a lot of various things, I'm sure, in coaching, if the good Lord willing, health-wise, and I continue to do what I love to do. As for the question, what a great basketball question, Bruce, because you do hear this. You know, you'll go out and you'll hear coaches, if they're on preview shows or maybe in the newspaper, whatever. You do hear this borderline cliche all the time of, you know, the defenses are way ahead of the offense. So the first part of that comment, I think the way I would clarify that is, perhaps if coaches would say it the other way around, they could say the same thing, but it wouldn't be as confusing. I think what it is, the offense is so far behind the defense. I don't know that it's the defense is that far ahead. It's just the offenses are struggling so much. And what I mean by that, one, we just talked about in your follow-up question, one, the talent level is not as good. People don't have as many kids that can handle the basketball with the right and left hand. They don't have as many kids that can create their own shot and then make shots. Two, early in the year, Bruce, what happens is conditioning becomes a huge factor. And conditioning can really show up on the offensive end. If you have the jump shooter, the kid, I've seen a lot of teams get out of the gate quick in the first quarter, and then I'll see a lot of fatigue set in their legs and in their perimeter shooting and so forth. So conditioning this time of year certainly plays a factor. And then three, the timing and execution on the offensive end. You get little practice time in a lot of situations. You're getting kids in from the volleyball season, where we obviously have great success into the regional tournaments at multiple schools, the playoffs we've talked about on the boys' side. You'll see those different things. Here's something else I'll add in, Bruce, a little bit. Offensive playbooks are bigger than ever. I tell you, and don't get me wrong, I love quick hitters. I do. I'm the first guy that I'm a basketball junkie. I'll be sitting and watching all the great college basketball or an NBA game on TV, and I'll see a set, and, you know, I'll jot it down on my little notebook there or whatever, and I'll say, man, that's kind of a great play. I think this particular team could use that play. That'd be a neat way to get so-and-so a shot. But I guess what I hate is the game's lost its continuity on the offensive end. You know, the ball and the player movement. And again, maybe that's the result of multiple kids not being able to play. I'm not sure. Maybe it kind of goes back to a little league. Maybe there's a little league reference there someone could send some feedback in on, and where, you know, we're forced to try to play 5-on-5 against elite schools in the fourth grade. So we have to figure out something. So, hey, let's just take our two best players and do this. Mm-hmm. But I think on this question, I think that's what happens. I don't know that it's that the defense is that far ahead. I just think early in the year, offense is so far behind because, again, you're trying to get the execution down. A lot of less kids are playing in the off season. So what I mean by, you know, the timing and the conditioning and the overall talent is a lot of kids, by the time they are forced to go to basketball practice 6 days a week for 2 months, well, now all of a sudden their skill level starts to catch back up and go. You're not going to see a lot of those kids walk right in November and December and be a great shooter or a great ball handler because if a lot of them are being honest, they probably haven't had a basketball in their hand in the last 2 or 3 months more than a time or two. That's just the reality of kind of our culture nowadays. The really elite teams, that's not true. Yeah, the really, really elite teams, if you've watched someone especially this early in the year, Uniota boys would be a great example the other night, and the whooping they put on Logan. Boy, wasn't that impressive. You know, what's the situation there? Well, I'll guarantee you those kids have had a basketball. I know for a fact 3-4 of them have been going hardcore basketball pretty much around the clock for a while now. Well, they're obviously ready to go. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first thing. The second part I would throw in on the contradiction, defense is much harder to coach. Yeah, if you're really – some coaches are just not willing to do it. Some coaches just kind of look for some different things they can just go with, and they'll just put it in and go with it. But if you're really going to teach the defensive end front the post or behind the post – I had great discussion with that in Boys and Girls with a couple different people. That's a great philosophy discussion. Are you going to trap? Are you going to play in the full court, the half court? Are you going to play – in zones, when you start changing defenses, how much are you going to sub? Your top five might be very familiar with some of your concepts defensively, but what happens in basketball, foul trouble or different substitution patterns come into play. Well, I know I watched a couple games in the second, third quarter over the weekend where the game was completely changed because of foul trouble and a coach got caught with a couple substitution patterns that I'm assuming are not going to be the norm. And it caught up with them and hurt them. So I think a couple of those factors, I think that's where defense gets better as the year goes on. I would even throw in, not to make this too long of answer, Bruce, but I thought it was such a great question that it deserves some attention and some thought. I would even throw in scouting report. Hmm. You know, early in the year when you're playing someone, you're only going to know so much about them. I know coaches are scrambling. The coaches that really, really prepare, this might sound funny to some fans, but coaches who really prepare, what they'll do, Bruce, is they'll go back and try to look at film from last year. They'll look at last year's team, and then they'll get this year's roster, and they'll say, okay, these kids return. The same coach is there. They might do this. So imagine how different that type of scouting report is compared to you maybe getting to go out early in the year and actually watch a team that you're getting ready to play here in a week or two. So here, as you get 2-3 weeks into the season, scouting certainly improves, and that's going to make defense better because obviously it's easier to defend something if you know who you need to be paying attention to and where on the court that you need to be focused in. So, again, I know I'm throwing 2-3 different things there, but I think they all apply. What a great email. That's as a basketball guy, Bruce, this is the kind of thing I love about the show because that is a great – that's not a good question. That's a great basketball question right there. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you can do a big segment on that. Well, that's some of the major feedback we've received, and next we bring back a fan favorite segment to take care of some of the other things that's on the minds of the fans. And we're back to episode 141 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVCSportsZone.com. Sports Talk. Shane, I know you've been kind of kicking around here, bringing back a segment the fans seem to enjoy in the years past. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, this is another situation where someone had listened to both preview shows, and they were asking about the fast break segment. And they said, we always enjoy that because, you know, this particular person that mentioned it, they mentioned how they listened to the show at lunchtime. There's usually anywhere from 4 to 8 of them in the room there listening to, when they get to the fast break, they say in years past, they've certainly had some nice heated discussion themselves on some of the answers. So again, if you're not familiar, it's the fast break segment. And I'll tell you what, let's have it brought to our listeners, Bruce, by the Crown Hill Golf Club. That's located U.S. Route 22 West over in Williamsport, just minutes from Route 104. Fans, what you need to do for more details, give the course a call, 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. Ask for Dave or Kevin and tell them SVCSportsZone.com sent you. It's a funny thing there, Bruce, too. A couple people that were going to meet me out to watch a little basketball with me said, hey, I think I'm going to go try to get 9 holes of golf in. So wow. On Saturday there, people playing golf still. So certainly want to get a hold of Dave or Kevin up there, see what's going on. I know I also get a lot of good information from them. I know they're running some specials right now. I believe it said 10% off any membership if you act on that before the January 31st. So, and I also know in this past year, they're willing to sit down and talk to you about maybe how far you live away, what you're trying to accomplish there. So, well worth your time. As for the fast break segment, obviously, if you've listened to the show before, you know how this works. For those of you that haven't, what will happen is Bruce will kind of give me some short questions. These are things that have come from the inbox or maybe discussion or just things that maybe along the way I kind of add to the show that I think could add some good information. I'll usually give a girls and boys answer both if that applies. If it's just a general basketball question, maybe just a single answer. So that's the way to work. So Bruce, if you're okay with it, let's go ahead and go with this week's version of Fast Break.
Shane, what could be the unfortunate SVC headlines early in the season?
Well, Bruce, on the girls' side, I would have to go with the unfortunate results for the SVC girls. Here we are at 5-11 to start SVC play. That's obviously not the case in most years in volleyball or in softball and some different things. So, again, as basketball is trying to establish itself is a little bit more relevant again here in the SVC, the 5-11 start is not a good one. I will say that some of our better teams have really been outplaying some of the Southeast best in terms of programs. So hopefully that'll improve. On the boys' side, I would say missing pieces from too many puzzles. I know Isaac Thomas at Edina is really hurting them in terms of physicality right now. Anthony McFadden's missing time at Payne Valley. I know Pierce Mowry's, he played the other night sparingly, but I know he's nursing some injuries. Just those are some of the right off the top of my head. I know in the preview, not a lot of people played. So a little concerned from a boys standpoint with the injuries.
After watching SVC teams in a regular season game, a breakout player to watch would be whom?
I think the girls is a little bit more cut and dry. As I went through each team, Faith Pack of Python really jumped out at me. I think what's going to happen with Faith is she has really good size and pretty good basketball skill. She can score the basketball and she can really play. Her getting to play in a lineup with the likes of Blanton and the size of Travis, she's going to get some really favorable matchups. So she's going to really rebound the basketball well and score. The boys' side, a little trickier. I know with McFadden out, Jay Riley was solid in his first game. Brandon Kennedy of Uniota jumps out at me, but he hit 3 threes. Him playing with Cottrell and Swackhammer, he's dangerous. But Bruce, I think the breakout star here that people better really learn to name, Quentin Davidson. Zane Trace, the kid that comes in from Chillicothe, he has 15 points. Just 9 shots the other night, records 3 steals, really a nice ball handler. If Mowry gets healthy, that's as good a backcourt as there is in the area.
In watching basketball during the first weekend, What are you seeing way too much of in the early games?
Dribbling.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. I mean, a lot of dribbling. And don't get me wrong, I'm a former point guard. I love me some dribbling, but I tell you, and some kids can obviously dribble better than others, but you know, this comes a little bit from philosophy, so maybe some personnel. We talked last week a bunch about the 4 and 5 guard lineups, but I tell you, the teams that can use the dribble as a weapon rather than just as a waste of time, for lack of a better term, and really share the ball and just play some better offense, I think are getting better results. Obviously, it's a lot tougher to defend too, some player movement, some different things, but look, I know it's a different game nowadays, but there's a lot of dribbling going on in the boys and girls game.
What stat is becoming the big key that fans need to start paying attention to as league play gets underway later this week?
No question, it's rebounding. I'm telling you, fans, pay attention. Watch the rebounding stat. It's a serious issue. What's the theme here in the league on the boys and girls side? A lot of guard plays. Well, you have some of these smaller lineups, and you better, if you don't have a Swingle, a Hosley, or even a Brian Hall, I thought did a great job rebounding the basketball for Dina the other night, you better get all five kids involved in rebounding the basketball team, and rebounding as a basketball team rather than just waiting for one individual to do it. The free throw situation is also a big thing that's overlooked early in the year. You're trying to get all your sets in. Just rebounding off of missed free throw situations is hurting some teams really bad as well.
Shane, good stuff there. I want to remind everybody, again, we'd love to hear from you. And you can do that 4 or 5 ways here. I want to remind you that you can just give us a phone call at 740-569-3254. That's a DBK Media Services phone answering system, if you will. And you simply just leave your message there. You can leave your message. If you got a big question and got lots to say, you can get up to, I think it's 2 to 3 minutes there on the phone. If not, call back and we'll splice it together. Also, if you do call and you don't want us to use your voice, just let us know that. We won't use your voice. We'll find some hired voice or something like that. Bring Jeremy back or something. Also, we're available on Twitter. SVCSportZone.com and on Facebook. Shane maintains 2 profiles, one being the Shane Combs at SVC Sports Zone, and then Shane Combs.
That's one I use quite a bit, and then the more, I guess, separate for the website is the SVCSportZone.com. Yeah.
And we already mentioned the email address, and that is admin1@svcsportszone.com. Shane watches that quite closely, and it seems like most of our feedback does come through that, but don't let that stop you. So lots of different ways that they can get a hold of us and give us an idea, a nudge, or something like that. Or if you just disagree with Shane, you're welcome to let him know.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, there might be a few people out there. If nothing else, while I'm hosting this winter, I'm going to try to disagree with you once or twice, because it didn't get done very much in the fall. I think you Combs kids got together in the fall, and then Jeremy and you also think a lot alike, I think. So I hearken back last week to when Eric was with us, and he disagreed with you from time to time. I did remember that. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you. So final segment also being brought to you by, or will be called, our post-game comments, and it'll be brought to you by the Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, check out the website at crownhillgolfclub.com, and anytime you visit the golf course, please, please make sure that you tell them, Kevin or Dave out there, that SVC Sports Zone sent you. So here we go. This is in the week's post-game segment, and the question today, Shane, what would you like to hear about for next week?
I really wanted to kind of go back and break down a couple different things. One, the link to everything we're talking about, the link back to Little League, and not just negative feedback. I want some positive feedback too, because I'm not saying that everything going on in Little League basketball is a negative. I hope I don't come across that way. I just think what's happening is, We've really have gotten away from some of the foundations that have made Little League in the past very successful. So what I'm looking for is anything that you, as good basketball people out there, can connect back to the Little League and how we can use this kind of forum, if you will, to really improve the product that's taking place in some of our younger levels. I think that's really important. I would also, so Bruce, because we've had a lot of feedback, obviously, off the preview shows. Mm-hmm. I really want fans to focus in on our fast break segment this week. There's a couple things. Obviously, with teams and players, we're going to get more familiar with them once we get 5-6 games in, especially when we start playing league games. But I thought questions 3 and 4 were really intriguing because those were actual comments and discussion points that I'd made a point to add to the show based off of great conversation that I had out at Zane Trace and then as well at a game where I was watching over at Huntington. And I had some great basketball people just kind of picking my brain on certain things, talking about the dribbling aspect, talking about some of the philosophy in terms of where we've gotten away a little bit from the old school, if you will, continuity offenses where we turn the ball side to side. We've gone a little bit more to the quick hitter. We've fallen in love with those types of things. And then the last thing, the rebounding. I think rebounding, Bruce, is something that gets overlooked big time in the preseason by coaches. I think, myself included, I get guilty of it. What happens is, again, these playbooks are getting bigger, right? So mm-hmm. we have to take time to get all our plays in. Then what has to happen is we've got to get our conditioning in. And then we've got to get our shots up, and then we've got to do this and that. So what happens is maybe we shut out those box out drills. Maybe we don't emphasize it enough. Maybe we don't, especially with young teams, talk about the free throw situation. Look at the numbers. Every basketball game you watch is probably going to have both teams most of the time. don't tell Coach Cox of Southeastern this, but most of the times you shoot at least 10 free throws probably in a game. And if you get the right physicality of a game with the right officiating crew, both teams might shoot 20, 25, 30.
Yeah.
Well, think about, it's not like we got a bunch of great shooters shooting 85, 90%. Chances are what's happening on a lot of those free throw situations is we're seeing the ball come off. We're seeing misses. So what happens is we have to rebound those situations. I know one SVC school the other night on the boys' side just basically got beat because they could not take their inside position on a free throw and simply just box out and rebound the basketball. So there's really some time that has to go into that. So I guess I would really like to see what could happen in terms of some of those things, or maybe give me some other things that you think maybe coaches overlook in the preseason. Then the third thing, Bruce, I have down is wrestling. You know, with it becoming an SVC sport, we certainly are not shutting it out on purpose. We've talked about this in the past a little bit here on SVC Sports Talk. What I would really encourage you, if you're out there and you want wrestling to become a part of SVC Sports Talk, then I need you to get involved in SVC Sports Talk. Let us know. Educate us on some of the teams, some of the kids. Let us know some of the discussions that we need to have, because it's like anything else. The more we can educate our listeners and our fans, the more the sport's going to grow. And that's one thing real quick, Bruce, before we get out of here this week, I'd ask you, just have you noticed, first of all, let me ask you that. How long's wrestling been at Vinton County? Has it always been there? Is that something that's come in?
I don't know when it started, you know, since I've kind of been, neither of my children, both of whom are both out of school at this point, were not involved in wrestling, but, it's been there for, well, I do know since they moved out, since at least 2000, probably.
Okay. Yeah.
I would say in the 90s or late 80s, I think it came in, something like that. It wasn't always as strong as it is now, but we've had several kids, you know, wind up going up to the state, I believe, recently. So wrestling is getting bigger, it seems, all across the state of Ohio. I know it's always been big up Columbus ways.
Absolutely. Well, and I've had a lot of people ask me, do I think it's going to be more of like a track or a cross country type of field, where maybe you do have some teams that do well as a team, but it's more of an individual. You're going to start to know some of the individual stars throughout your league, and they're going to make some of the postseason runs. You know, I know at Paint Valley we had Caleb Johnson, Tegan McFadden have been some kids. I know Zane Trace has had a little bit of success. So I guess my thing is, Bruce, in our league, is how, again, is it going to impact the smaller school? I just wonder if it's not going to really cut the junior high basketball numbers down. And I wonder what kind of impact it's going to have on freshman basketball in our league, say in the next, it won't happen within 1 year, but I'm talking over the next, say, 5 to 10 years. That might be something that I would love to even get some administration response from, some concerns from a board member, concerns from principal, athletic director. So those are some of the things that I had written down based off of my preparation for this week's show that I would love to hear back from some people to look ahead.
Okay, so Little League, the philosophy behind that, what is it? Questions, particularly questions 3 and 4 within the fast break on dribbling and rebounds. It sounds like you're almost talking just fundamentals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 And then the third aspect of what we're looking for in feedback is specifically wrestling. What's that going to do? How's it progressing in your schools, and what might it do to your other programs? Shane, I know this is completely unscripted and we'll cut this out if you don't want it, but I just, as I was sitting here listening to you talk, you've mentioned a couple times now, playbooks are getting bigger. Why?
I think it probably works a little bit from the college game down, the clinic work and the different things. I think we coaches are a little bit of control freaks. I mean, let's be honest, okay? We a lot of times try to get our hands right in on the product. We want to try to have that control of, hey, let's run this play. Let's get the ball here. Let's have this happen. And I think what's happened a little bit is kids have lost a feel to how to play. You know, open gyms are not as common as they once were. That's not to say there aren't great open gyms out there. Again, they're the programs that have kids going out and playing and doing different things they do, but just being able to go out and check it up on the driveway 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 or play. So what happens is, you know, where you watch a lot of games back in the 90s, you'd see a lot of basketball being played in what's called the secondary break there, where, you know, not really a fast break, but it's coming in transition. It's a nice pass. It's a penetration. It's a kick. A guy flashes to the middle, ask for it. Or you get into the 5-on-5 setting, and there wasn't a lot of complicating things going on. I mean, I know I played on a 20-and-3 basketball team my senior year. We ran the old school motion pick down, pick across. I didn't even know what a quick hitter was until I got to college. So it's one of those situations where the game is changing, and there's a place for quick hitters. And I'm not saying that quick hitters are bad, because I love quick hitters. I'm just saying that there seems to be a little bit of a change in the skill set that has come about. And I just would love to know, maybe are we falling in love with too many quick hitters at the Little League and junior high? So maybe that goes back to my first point there. That'd be a great connection here. Is it something that maybe is starting a little too young? I think that seems to be the theme I keep coming back to, because if that's happening at the Little League and junior high level where we're quick hitter heavy, then that could certainly impact the kid's ability just to learn how to play offense.
Being the technology nerd that I am, I wondered, I mean, you know, everybody has more access to more games. You can watch it on TV. I mean, it's, you know, it's on, it seems like around the clock almost during specific times. I know you see a lot locally, but it is, you know, you can watch, you know, tournaments on your computer. You can do all kinds of things. So I just wonder if it's not, you know, someone sitting there just like you just mentioned with your little scrap of paper, and you're exposed to more. Coaches are exposed to more, and then they want to implement that work there. That's
No question, because again, you know, it's so easy, and if you're not careful as a coach, you know, we're all guilty of it. I mean, we might already run 5 out of bounds plays, and then we see an amazing out of bounds play that, you know, UConn runs the score Syracuse on a Tuesday night, and before you know it, hey, we're gonna put that in tomorrow. What, how we run 6 out of bounds plays? Well, at some point, I don't know how well you're gonna run 6 out of bounds plays. I'd probably, you know, make sure I'm running 2 or 3 I'm really, really well. So, yeah, I think we're all guilty of it. And like I said, I think there's a place for it at the varsity level if you have an experienced team, if you have a team with high basketball IQ, and if they're kids that have been taught how to screen. how to cut, how to come off of a screen, how to get your feet set. If all of those things happen, then I think a lot of these quick hitters can be incorporated right into your offense and you'll never miss a beat. So I guess that's where I tie it back into. I think I even heard my brother say one time on SVC Sports Talk, at the junior high level, he doesn't care as much that they're running the same exact offense that he's running at the varsity level, but it's very important to him that his kids are learning how to play, just to play offense. And that's what he means by that. Are you spacing the floor? Are you screening properly? Are you cutting? Are you moving without the ball? Are you in a triple threat? All of those fundamental things that add up to an offensive quick hitter somewhere down the line.
All right. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Really good stuff.
Yeah. That is episode number 141 for us on SVC Sports Talk. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as the other sponsors on the website, for everyone behind the scenes here helping me at DBK Media Services, and for Shane Combs, this is Bruce Knox reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.